There's been a surge in volunteering during the pandemic, but what economic benefit has it had? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We'll break down the economics of volunteer work in a moment, but first, finance ministers from the European Union's four biggest economies say a deal is within reach to establish a new international tax system. It's a top issue at the agenda of the G7 meeting that's just kicked off here in London with finance ministers from Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the UK, and the US. America has led the way on this initiative. It wants a unified 15% minimum rate of corporation tax. Proponents argue it would stop countries from driving down rates to compete for foreign business investment. The BBC's Andrew Walker has more on that story.
There are two strands in international negotiations on business taxation: getting technology firms to pay more in the countries where their users are, and agreeing a minimum rate for profits taxes. The four European Union finance ministers said in their letter that an agreement was within reach and now was the time to do it. Three of them, from Germany, France and Italy, are at the G7 meeting, which is discussing the issue. President Biden's administration is keen to reach a consensus. That's a contrast with his predecessor, and the change has transformed the talks. Any agreement would need to be made in a much wider forum, but the G7 coalescing around a proposal would give the process much more momentum. In London, I'm the BBC's Andrew Walker for Marketplace.
Checking the numbers now, global stock markets are little changed this morning as investors await the May U.S. jobs report out later today. That will shed light on how the economic recovery is progressing for the world's largest economy ahead of next week's Fed meeting. Elsewhere, despite a devastating second wave of COVID-19, India's benchmark share index was one of the best performing in the Asia-Pacific region last month. It rose 6.5% in May and closed at an all-time high in yesterday's session.
Distribution of Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service is supported by T-Mobile for Business, using unconventional thinking to open the door to new possibilities. Dedicated to delivering network, support, and value without any trade-offs. T-Mobile.com/unconventional. And by The Wall Street Journal and Gimlet, whose podcast, To the Moon, explores the GameStop frenzy at wsj.com/to the moon.
Around the world, volunteers have played an important role in supporting others during the pandemic. Here in England, the National Health Service saw a surge in people signing up for its Volunteer Responders Program. Participants have been supporting the most vulnerable by dropping off groceries, having phone conversations, or helping with transportation to health appointments. In just 4 days, 750,000 people registered interest in the program, and it became the biggest volunteer mobilization since World War II in this country. Mark Walsh is one of those volunteers, and he's been helping out at vaccine centres in the south of England.
I'm currently learning to drive trains, but owing to the current situation, that's met a temporary pause in the track, as it were. I've just changed career from being a police officer for 16 years, so instinctively had a career of helping people. So when we got put down on the first lockdown, the government in the UK put out a call for volunteers instantly, the same day, within 10 minutes I applied to be that. I can to this day remember my first volunteer shift, and it was quite overwhelming really. The shifts can be long. It's a lot of standing on your feet. It could be directing cars in a car park, to stewarding people into the cubicles to get their vaccinations. But the day from interacting with other volunteers and coming together and seeing the expressions on people's face coming for their vaccine, for some people the first time they've stepped out of their house in 12 months. You know, that was quite emotional. Being able to guide them through and give them comfort is just an amazing feeling, really. Even now, when people are returning back to work in the UK and we're slowly unlocking, you know, and I'm waiting for that immediate call to go back to work, I've still got that support from my organisation and my managers, as long as it don't impact on me being able to pay the mortgage. When I've got time to spare, I will be volunteering, not just in this role, in other roles too.
Well, as Mark explains there, there's clearly a personal and social benefit to volunteering, but is there an economic incentive? The London School of Economics did the numbers on this and found the benefit to volunteers was about 140 times the cost of running the NHS Volunteer Responders Program. In new research published this week, the LSE researchers concluded it's as if each volunteer got a $2,500 bonus. Dr. Chris Keckel, a professor of behavioral science, explains how he and his team were able to quantify something seemingly so subjective.
We interviewed volunteers and we compared the life satisfaction of volunteers with that of those people who wanted to volunteer but unfortunately didn't get a task because there wasn't enough, you know, work for them in their and local communities. And so we estimate the effect of, you know, volunteering on life satisfaction, and we also estimate the effect of income on life satisfaction. And we can very easily compare the two coefficients, and knowing how much people earn in that particular time period we study, we can derive this figure of $2,500.
Now, obviously, people don't actually get paid for this volunteer work. So is there an actual real economic benefit then to volunteering that we can conclude from your research?
Definitely. I mean, there is, volunteering is huge. So in the UK, it's estimated to be around 2.5% of GDP. I think in the US, it's about 3.7% of GDP. And there's huge amounts of hours put into volunteering. The real economic benefit is, of course, that you would otherwise have to hire somebody to do that work. So that is sort of like, if you want to monetize it differently, that would be the hourly wage rate you could take.
You know, money doesn't change hands. So how is that figured?
That's a very good question. But what you usually do is you try to take the hourly wage rate in sort of like a comparable job to the work that is being done by the volunteer, and then you aggregate that and thereby put it into the GDP figure. That's usually how it's done. Well, the problem with that is, of course, that this accounts for the benefits that are generated for the recipient of volunteering only, and it doesn't really account for the benefits that the volunteer himself or herself actually generates in terms of well-being. So there's actually much more value generated than is usually captured by this very narrow definition of volunteering by simply looking at the hourly wage rate, because that completely neglects all the benefits that are there for the volunteer himself or herself, right? And by looking at well-being, we can sort of monetize them too. And sort of the estimate we have in the GDP figure is hence probably quite underestimated of the true benefit of volunteering to society.
That's really interesting. So the study that you did was focused on the NHS volunteer responder scheme. But do you think the results can be applied to other volunteer activities generally? Because I'm thinking we're in a very unique situation with the pandemic. So is the benefit, I guess, that people feel that they get from volunteering now maybe more inflated than it otherwise would be because you feel like you're contributing in this very unique time?
So that's what we call, usually we call this external validity. So does that actually transfer to different other scenarios? And we looked at sort of comparable estimates of volunteering on people's life satisfactions. And the effect sizes are pretty comparable, actually. And we hence conclude that because these other effects are taken from different times and different volunteerings, it's actually probably transferable to the general case.
Is there sort of a message here maybe for policymakers?
I think so. There is, in my opinion, and our opinion, a clear rationale for policy to, you know, subsidize more of this activity. And especially if you look at programs like the NHS volunteer responders, you know, which create a huge benefit at almost no costs, right? I mean, this was app-based, technology-based volunteering that basically gave people small tasks in their communities, highly cost-effective. If you divide the benefits generated by the costs, you get a cost-effectiveness ratio that is even better than psychological therapy done by the NHS. So it's hugely cost-effective. And we have to probably think about, you know, how to take something like this into the, you know, post-COVID world. Can we have something like a national volunteer service subsidized by the state, maybe, that provides people the opportunity to do small tasks for others in their local communities and hence build local community trust, social capital, and so on and so forth. And such subsidies would be very, very small. I mean, the system is almost, you know, running by itself. The costs were very, very low, and the benefits are great. So I think there's a good case for policy intervention.
Dr. Chris Kreckel from the London School of Economics, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Have you been volunteering during the pandemic yourself? What's your experience been like? Have you seen an economic benefit from it all? Share it with us. We're at the hashtag BBC Marketplace on Twitter. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.